Have you ever wondered why you can adjust your driver but not your irons? The new SMS irons from Adele provide the ability to adjust your irons to match your swing, which presents the opportunity for significantly improved control of the club head. What does that really mean? More distance and better control off better strikes. Go visit www.adelegolf.com to learn more about what your current irons can't do.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is THP community member Chris Much, aka Much More 18. What is up, my Montanian friend?
What up, Dan?
Is Montanian the right thing? Like
Montanian?
Montanian?
Yeah, Montanian.
Like we're going Tannin and Montanian?
That would be a good way to say it, yeah.
Well, I'm excited to get you on, buddy. You've had a pretty great year over there on THP chatting about golf. Lots of activity from you. You enjoyed a granddaddy, maybe not a granddaddy victory, but
hey, now
that's asking an awful lot. So, so what's going on? Are you having a good summer?
I'm having a great summer. Yeah. I just got, I got done coaching soccer finally for the last time. Cause I was drugged back a couple times. But this year was the final year.
So they drugged you and made you coach soccer. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happened. No, wow, they didn't.
Okay. So that's got to free you up a little bit.
Oh man. It has been awesome. And I still haven't been able to play as much as I want to. Like the last 2 weeks I was talking to somebody that works, like one of my buddies that works at the course, and they have blown the horn for Lightning. I think 7 out of the last 10 days.
Really?
Yeah.
So that is interesting that they actually have a horn for Lightning. My course is basically of the, it is your problem, not ours. I assume that has something to do with liability, but it's nice that you actually have that utility where they send the horn out there. Is it that ugly right now in Montana?
No, it's beautiful. We've just had, so it, this last week, for example, it was 80s and 90s until you got off work. And that's when the crappy weather came in every single time without fail.
Well, you should just stop working then and play golf.
I'm trying really hard.
So Montana, man, I don't know a ton about it. What's the golf like there?
So I think I've posted this on the forum before, but it has everything. It has really great links courses. It has really great like tree line courses. It has like the course where they played the match at with Bryson and Phil and Brady and Rogers, Moonlight, like they have some incredible mountain golf too. But the two courses I'm used to playing are pretty, not bland isn't the right word. They're just pretty, I don't know. They don't have a lot of defining characteristics to them.
Yeah. When I'm being hateful, I usually call that pedestrian.
Hey, there you go.
So I was looking up a little bit of Montana golf, and it looks like you have pretty cool scenery in the backdrops. Maybe not to the level of like your California mountains or even some of the deeper mountain ranges out there, but it's not like here in Ohio where everything's just pure flat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, there's a couple holes where you can tell we're up in elevation and you can see it go down into the valley. Like the valley's the backdrop, and then a big mountain called the Sleeping Giant is a backdrop to like 5 different holes. The mountains are a good backdrop out here, and it's really cool. Like you said, it's not like California, but seeing balls fly up across the mountain looks really sweet.
I love that. All we do is try and see it in the gray sky of Ohio, and it's very challenging to pick up the little white orb against the gray backdrop as I paint an awful picture of my hometown, or I suppose current present town. But you made it sound like there was a different experience between depending on where you are in Montana. Is that true? Like there's, you get two visually different experiences, whether you're in east or west.
Yeah, absolutely. The eastern part of Montana, which is there's not a lot over there. It's, you wouldn't even know you're in Montana or next to any mountains. It's flat as can be. And then western part of Montana where I'm from is where the whole Rocky Mountain range is.
That's awesome. So how much golf would you say you play in a given year? This sounds like it's not the best year to be offering up that number, but what kind of golf do you typically play?
So last year I got in, I think 75 rounds because we only get to play from like late March, if we're lucky, to late October, early November, again, if we're lucky.
Okay.
So having soccer that I used to coach, that cuts up like half the summer on its own. And then I have to try to fit everything in like the last 2 months.
Really? Yeah. That's a lot of golf still, considering how tight your actual season is. Like there are lots of people I know who don't play 75 and they can play probably 9 or 10 months of the year. I mean, that's not too bad. So you've got to be getting out there. It means you don't have kids. It means you don't have your life going yet.
Yeah. No kids.
So, wow. That's not too bad, man. And it's not like, some of our buddies up there, shout out UConn Living for the tight window he gets to play.
Yeah, that's but true. I always think how bad it is. And then whenever he posts a picture, like he was posting pictures of like 3 feet snow back in April. And I'm like, well, it's not that bad.
Yeah, it could be UConn. Wow. Yeah, I was, I actually took my son Cal out to the driving range tonight, being that we're in peak golf season in July. And it's crazy to me, number one, how many people are there. Number two, how quickly they closed our range. But it worked out well for us because we were heading to the putting green anyway. But it's like it's so easy to forget that this time of year, at least here in Ohio, you have the ability to go and mess around until 9:30 at night, with the way the sun is. And then you get into, I don't know, August, September, and October. And even if the weather cooperates, you know, it's dark by the time you're done working. So
yeah,
you know, I suppose it doesn't really make a huge difference when it comes down to those junkier months, but at least we're on the right schedule with the earth where we get warm weather with the longer days of the year. So are you typically an evening golfer, or would you go like weekends?
So during the week, I'm not one of the people that get up before work and go play. I usually restrict my times to like 7 or later during the week. And then weekends, I used to be one of the first like 2 or 3 tee times of the day. But the body and the back just don't agree with that anymore. And so I start playing at like 9, 10 a.m. every weekend.
So how old are you?
31.
Yeah.
I know, dude. I know.
What did you do in your past life that would put you at 31 in such a position that 7 a.m. tee times just aren't for you?
I don't know. I actually had a back injury last year, around like January, and I don't know what caused it. And it hasn't been the same since.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard that yoga is good for you. Rory seems to like working out and says that it solved all of his back problems. So, you know, maybe activity is not the worst thing.
Hey man, I do activity.
Yeah, me too. I don't, I really should, but that's a story for a different day. So it's kind of fun because I can't say I've ever been to Montana, but it's fun to hear about the different experiences that not only our THP community gets involved with, but just in general, what the world's like out there beyond what I've seen and what I know. Mm-hmm. So just golf wise, you said do you play at a little bit of elevation? Is that where you are?
Yeah. Helena is at, I think 38,000 or not, God, not thousand, 3,800.
That's pretty tall, yeah.
Yeah. 3,800.
Okay. And then is it just all bent grass out there? Or what's the grass like?
So I knew with your fascination with grass that you'd ask,
Yeah. You looked it up, didn't you?
No, I knew it before. it's a mix of bent, poa, and rye.
Okay. So it's a pretty solid mix. Yeah. Interesting that the poa would be mixed in because it's such a different grower than the others. But
the country club here is exclusively poa. And the people I know who play that course a lot don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're the first couple tee times out, it's hard to get. I'll never forget, man. They went up to Chambers Bay for that major quite a few years ago. And they half the pros were calling the greens broccoli because there was so much poa growing on them. It's like, man, that's a harsh criticism, but it's true, man. When you roll on pure like bent or, you know, something like that, and you transition to poa, which by the end of the day has a different growth cycle than even the grass beside it, it's hard to get comfortable with that. So, so is that, do you experience that a little bit when you're out there, or is it fairly true where you play?
It's really true. Our course, it's a city muni, but it's one of the nicest public courses in like the main five cities here. We have people come here all the time saying, like from out of town, saying how great condition our course is in.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious to know, just in general, what it's like to live in Montana and have these conversations with people who are from larger cities or, you know, different areas. Have you played on, I know you've been out to the West Coast, to California, experienced some of the different types of grass out there, but have you been down into like the Florida area to golf or the Carolinas where they play on a lot of grass that I won't even speak of, Bermuda?
No, I've never played down southeast or anything besides the Myrtle trip that we're about to go on for the Granddaddy reunion. That's not a type of grass that I know at all.
So you're going to a couple unbelievably great courses and courses that have a huge emotional tie-in to my world, True Blue Caledonia, in the two of them. I've always thought that they rolled fairly true there for being Bermuda, which is cool, but you know, there are some places, like especially when you get into some areas in Florida, where that grain just plays such an unbelievable role. And I can't wait. Hopefully they get some video of your face when you read the putt doing one thing and it does the complete opposite. And you're just like, what just happened? Are you reading up on that at all, or are you just gonna wing it?
I'm going in blind.
Just gonna love wing it.
Yeah.
For everything else, there's alcohol, right?
Absolutely.
So you've been on THP for a couple of years. What's that journey been like for you? You started in 2019.
So I joined in 2019, right after the 19 Granddaddy got over. So I had no idea what it was. And then I kept paying attention. Obviously I was on there close to every other day. And then 2020 is when I, like the beginning of 2020, your very first post drive, is when I really started to dive in and like, experience THP for what it is now, or what I think it is now.
Yeah. Kind of this thriving madness of both golf and everything goes kind of conversation, but all put in the right place. Right. So
yeah.
For those who aren't overly familiar, THP has a thriving community of golfers who chat every day, every minute about the game of golf. And we do it on a somewhat of an older platform. We're not, we've all decided, it seems like, that the social media aspects of nastiness and golf related content just aren't really our thing. So we seem to thrive a lot more just talking to each other about this game that we love. And yeah, the post drive has been really fun. We actually just surpassed 8 million posts from everyone being a part of that. This huge, huge push over the last couple of months, which is super fun. And obviously you've been a big part of it. So that's really cool that that first post drive got you going. And that was kind of always the goal and the understanding that anyone who loves the game of golf should be a part of the conversation, right? You know, that we have wildly different backgrounds, ages, why not just get all together and have a great time? And is that always the presentation you've gotten from THP? Is that kind of the mentality that sucked you in overall?
When you dive in, yeah, absolutely. When I first found, the reason I first found THP was just looking for like shaft and club reviews, because it seems like everywhere does it the exact same way. But THP had forum members reviewing stuff too. So it was a lot more different voices and different skills talking about the same thing. And you could relate. Maybe you aren't a 2 handicap like the reviewers on some other websites. Maybe you're a 15 and you're hearing from 15s talk about this stuff, which is what originally drew me to it. And then, like you said, you get out what you put into it. And the more you jump in and participate, it really has turned into like an everyday kind of thing. It's a place I don't want to miss out on what's being talked about. It's seriously part of my daily routine being on THP.
You know what I love about it? And this is something that took me a long time to figure out. Originally, the goal for me was to talk purely about golf because I had all those sections of my life defined. If I wanted to talk hockey, I'd go to Twitter and, you know, bicker and banter with the large group of hashtag CBJ folks out there. And then if I wanted to talk golf, I would go on THP. But then I realized the bond you create with fellow golfers is so strong, and especially on THP where there's not a lot of negativity supported. And frankly, it's squashed fairly quickly, not just from the leadership, but also from the membership. Mm-hmm. That made me realize it'd be more fun to speak to TH peers about these other things. I mean, you and I both have our little sections of THP that we tend to lean on when we're not talking about golf. Like anime is a weird one, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
At the NHL, we just talked today about all the crazy free agency stuff that goes on. And I mean, even Funko Pop's such a funny thing that we're all kind of getting into that. But that all ties in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that we can go there and create friendships that are quite literally from everywhere at this point, everywhere on the US, everywhere in Canada, Europe. I mean, shout out to some of the guys who've come over from Europe to play in different experiences we've had here. But I'd love to know your side of it, because I've been anchored in since like 2011. So being 2019, you do have this digital wave of conversation about everything else you do in your life, right? Like you're not isolated to online golf talk to being your own outlet, I'm assuming. Has that become more focused on our community and the people who are involved in it since you really jumped in?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it did for me, it started as golf talk too. But it's literally everything you could think of. Like in the granddaddy thread, there was a whole 4 pages talking about a spork, for God's sake.
Yeah, and a gift of a spork.
So, yeah, I used to be on Twitter. I used to be on Facebook. I mean, I still am. I used to participate in posting in Instagram and stuff, but I don't hardly really use those platforms anymore, except to like get different kinds of news. Other than that, I don't remember the last time I've posted on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Besides, really? unless Twitter's like a giveaway or something, all my social media has been pretty much through THP.
Yeah, I was trying to tie that in a little bit, and what I love about the concept of Off Course is even though we have some unbelievable guests on from the industry, the hope here is that we can just have a basic and entertaining conversation between two people who have a similar interest with a bunch of sub interests that potentially mm-hmm. could link up. And I was linking the whole off course experience to just hanging out after a round of golf and you've made a connection and now you're just, you know, solving the world's problems with the exception of the big three we refuse to talk about on here. And that seems to be what THP has become. If you want to go and talk about something or celebrate something, it seems to be we all go to our certain communities, and I'm thrilled that THP has become that for so many people. For me, I feel like it's such a hard thing to go out there and get on the various forms of social media, not because I don't enjoy those whom I follow out there, but it's like there's such a feeling of welcomeness and community that's grown on THP over the last 2 years. If I have free time, like, that's where I want to be and
yeah,
to celebrate the things that are going on in my world. You feel the same way?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, let's talk about what I would assume would be one of your biggest stories in your golf career, which would be the Granddaddy.
All right.
You know, that, for those who aren't familiar, the Granddaddy is this all expense paid madness trip to Callaway headquarters. And then you get experiences learning about their new products that are coming out, and then you're fit for clubs at the ECPC, and then you're lobbied against Callaway. You know, they seem to do fairly well against Team THP, but you have the opportunity to compete and battle and befriend all those crazies over there in the Zoo Crew. And you got your name called. Were you one of the double year, or were you late to that edition?
So I was technically part of the Grandmama.
Okay.
When the Granddaddy was pushed out a year.
Yep.
So I was waiting since like July of 20 for that. I think it was, I honestly can't remember the timelines anymore. But yeah, I was waiting for like 6 months for that. That was canceled. And then we were brought into the fold, for the existing Granddaddy team. And it was one of the best years of my life.
Just overall, the whole experience, just the event, it was the whole buildup, it was everything.
Yeah. After I got into the Granddaddy, like I was part of the, like I said, part of the Grandmama team, but I still wasn't like super, super all in, like talking every day on THP. But once I got like selected for that, and when we saw how much it meant to Callaway to have to cancel the Grandmama and gave us this golden ticket into the best event ever, that's when my THP like involvement like grew tenfold. That's when THP and like the community and the togetherness and like the friendship with everybody on the team and the rest of the forum really, really started.
So tell me a bit about your golf career then, as we build up your preparation to the Granddaddy. Like, there's an understanding that you're going to have to be put in a competitive situation against guys who not only have been there before, but are people you want to know.
Yeah.
You know, people you see on social or whatever it is, speaking from the company. Was this like a big entry point into golf in total for you, or did you already have like a wild passion for the game? And this was just like effectively the cherry on top for what you'd been building up for.
It pushed me over the edge for how much I love this sport. I've been playing now for like 12 years. I fell in love with it right away, like loved everything about it. That's all I wanted to do was go play golf. But I didn't have a group or a community here in Montana that felt the same way about it for me. So it was hard to stay that passionate about it, even though like all I did was play golf. But being able to do this really just, it expanded everything I thought I loved about golf and just multiplied it.
So you said 12 years, how many have you been doing it wrong? Left-handed?
All 12.
All 12. That's horrible.
All 12. I've been putting the proper way for a year and a half though.
You're a recent convert. We can start at the putter and make our way up. That's fine.
Yeah.
So do you have like a group of guys locally you play with?
Yeah, I play with the same five or six people every weekend, but, like these past couple weekends, nobody's wanted to play. So I've gone out as a single and I've just met some random groups and it's been a pretty good time.
Yeah. Are you beating them? mercilessly.
We were actually, I went out as a single last Sunday and was put into a money game with three other groups.
Oh, nice.
Like my head wasn't there to go do that. And then I went and shot a 74 and beat all of them.
Wow. They call you sandbagger and all that?
They were, we had a long drive hole on hole two and I hit it really far. And the guys in the group were like, you're probably going to win that and everybody's going to hate you.
Yeah.
So we got done and all these people who didn't know who I was were just handing me money. And I'm like, yeah, they're not going to invite me back, but that's they did so invite funny. Me back. So
that's cool. Well, I mean, yeah, as long as you have a smile on your face and it's not like a shit eating grin, then I think most of the time people are willing to see if you can do it twice.
It was hard.
We
smile off my face.
You're like, oh, thank you for that. Thank you for paying for my round today.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, I got invited to play in just this random, it wasn't even like an event or anything like that. It was just a random grouping of people in Ohio. And they all put in money to play. But I guess the whole concept was that no one was a particularly strong player. And even though they played with handicaps, it was, you know, whatever. And I said to the guy who was organizing it, this was back when I was actually good at golf. I said, look, I will pay into it just cause I'm here and I've taken a spot, but please don't make me a part of the payouts. I'm not really into it. It was only like $5 or $10, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I shot, let's call it even par on the day. And I could hear people while we were sitting in there afterwards, like, who is that guy? I don't know that name. He's not coming back. I'm like, oh, boys, that was not a part of it. Like, people get pretty serious when they're not familiar. So it's cool that these guys were had a good time with you. And is that what Muni Golf is like for you? Is that you have opportunity to meet new people? Because for me, being a part of a country club, we sort of have these isolated groups that play and everyone's familiar with what they are. It's quite a bit more challenging to get out there and meet new guys.
So because I've been part of my golf course, I've had a season pass there for the past 5 years. I've gotten to know quite a few people. But it's you see different people almost every day you're out. Unless you have a main group, I could go out as a single and probably not be matched up with the same group for about 2 months.
Really?
Yeah. There's that many people that go play our course.
And is that appealing to you or do you get a little nervous for that?
It used to make me really nervous. Like I used to hate it. I used to hate playing through groups.
Yeah.
Like even
everyone does.
Yeah. But that kind of stuff doesn't bother me anymore. And I don't know if I credit that to THP, like interacting with so many different people from different backgrounds and stuff, but I think just being able, like you've said it multiple times, being able to enjoy the sport instead of like make it a grind every single time you're out there makes meeting those people a lot more fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you get into an experience, a community like THP and you have, we've already joked about two totally different things. We're talking about anime and NHL. So like, you know, normally you'd have to go to one place for each. And now you can see like this person's into this thing, but also into this thing. But they're very much focused on golf and it makes you realize just how unique we all are, but we all have this similar passion that centralizes us in the game, mm-hmm. which I think personally is one of the things I love the most about golf is that it's just a great neutralizer. Like, it's not like you're going to go play flag football and find that sort of camaraderie you can find, you know, teaming up or going out as a single on a Sunday. It's not like you can go to the park and play basketball, you know, you don't show up and suddenly you've got three new friends wanting to play 2v2 against you. You know, it's just so different. Right. And golf is, it allows you to play your own game while being a part of someone else's. I think that's cool, man.
Yeah, it is definitely one of the best parts of golf for me recently is realizing that it's not me against everybody else. It's we're all out there having a good time.
We're all out there miserable because golf is so friggin' hard. it's us against golf. It's not golf against us individually, right?
Yeah.
We have spent plenty of time talking about the Adele Golf SMS wedges and how their swing match system benefits the game, both in the full swing and the touch shots. Fortunately for us, Adele has decided to expand that concept into their new SMS irons, which present three interchangeable weights on the back of the iron face that you can move around at your leisure to best suit your golf game. Adele's testing makes note that a face which is 2 degrees open or closed has the ability to take the ball 10 yards off the intended line. With SMS, you can either tinker away or find that right location to set it and forget it, depending on the type of player you are, just like your driver. Visit www.adelegolf.com to see why they are leading the SMS story with one thought, that your irons can't do this. So let's circle back to the granddaddy, because we talked a little bit about the buildup, but we haven't really talked about your experiences there. Was it everything you thought it would be? I'm assuming you went back and looked at the previous years of experiences that have gone and done it. Credit to them for making it different every single time THP goes out there with a group of individuals. But was it what you had anticipated it would be?
I mean, I don't, even reading through 17, 18, and 19 before I went, I don't think you can adequately have an idea of what's going to happen until you're there. It sounds just ridiculous, but it was something you can't really explain, like in words that it deserves.
Yeah.
It was that cool and that awesome and that like changing the game for me.
So yeah, I'm assuming that's the challenge you have speaking to people who aren't familiar with what THP is.
Yeah.
The whole process of like, yeah, Callaway just randomly chose me and I randomly went out there with a bunch of other dudes and we got fit for clubs and played them and went to this insane golf course. And then I get to keep it all and fly home on their dime. Like it is very challenging to comprehend, but that's only the surface component of this whole experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we went out to their headquarters and then we went to their fitting facility, which, you know, all the tour pros go to, and got fit by those fitters.
Yeah. I tell people that all the time and they really just give you a look like you're either lying or I don't, like, oh, that's cool. You probably paid a ton for that. And I tell them, no, it was free. And they just, their eyes glaze over like, okay, I'm done listening to you.
Yeah. And then you show them the bag, full of Callaway clubs. It's like,
and
okay,
they're like, yeah,
maybe.
You have all this proof and they still don't like believe it was a real thing. And like, I had to do something specific or like pay to do something like that.
So do you have one singular memory that you think of? Like, if I say granddaddy to you, is there one thing that you instantly think about during your flight out there, or your experience out there?
I mean, this is going to sound silly, but the thing I remember most is losing.
Yeah. Okay.
Cause that's where I took that really hard. Like I took it really hard, even though that entire time it wasn't about the golf for me, but in that moment it was. And I remember, standing on, I think it was our third to last hole with, Decatalyst Clayton. And he just talked to me like he was my brother. And it was the coolest thing I think I experienced while I was down there.
Okay.
Like getting to know these guys all that year and then having that moment with them was pretty special.
Well, the hard part is Callaway's kind of good at the granddaddy. I mean, they're
too damn good, man.
A fairly strong record that is very difficult to beat. So, I mean, there has been writing on the wall every year that there's an expectation of them to win, but you guys scared them. I really think you guys threatened.
Oh, we did. We absolutely did.
Yeah. You threatened what was an absolute gauntlet of destruction. And, you know, it's fun, especially following on the forum, like watching you and Grant or Neil, as some people call him, play against Johnny and him just absolutely going off. And
oh, you know, dude, that was unreal to watch.
it was, you know, that's the fun part for us is we get to see it unfold for you. And then, you know, spend all those thousands of posts talking about it. And then you guys get to go back and relive it all, which has got to be super cool. I know it is every time I go back through my year. So
yeah, reading that, and seeing how much we missed and how like supported we were during that entire time was so incredible.
Did you ever get a sense the community was that much behind you?
You do because you see the post numbers and stuff, but because you can't stay up to date, like at all, you don't know like everything that's being said or like the support people are showing. Cause obviously it's a really cool thing to follow, as we had like the most posts I've ever seen in a thread before. But no, at the time you don't totally understand the support that's going on in the background for you.
So it obviously came back. We've got a captain and a number of members already selected to the team. Do you have advice for them? If you could give them one thought or one thing you'd say about the whole experience and the process overall?
I mean, I mentioned that the first thing I think about is losing. So don't focus on the golf. These are tips that like everybody shares that nobody listens to until, until you're past it.
Right.
Like take more pictures than you think you need. I thought I took a ton. I got back. I hardly had 100. Like you want to be able to relive this as much as possible, in as many ways as possible, whether that's through the thread or through, like short little videos that Neil took or pictures that everybody's
taking. Mean Grant. Yeah.
Yeah. Grant.
Yeah.
just be present. And what I mean by that is be present before the event, like be part of the forum as much as possible, which this team is killing it at.
Mm-hmm.
Like I see every one of those guys on all the time, and it's been awesome.
So I would have to think this is up there in one of your favorite golf memories, if not the favorite.
Yes. 100% the favorite.
I had selected your favorite golf memory on a conversation piece to talk about it. It sounds like we've kind of already hit it on the head.
I mean, if you want to keep talking about it, I could talk about the Daddy for the entire podcast. Well, it's that awesome.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a hole in one?
No, but I've come like 2 inches before.
Have you ever holed out from the fairway?
I have.
How far away was it?
125 yards, I think.
Do you remember every second of that experience?
Yeah, because I couldn't see it drop, and
one
of my friends who was farther up on the fairway, he just looks back at me, throws his club up in the air, and just comes running at me, and he's like, "You made it." And I couldn't believe it.
Man, that's golf right there. The one thing we should talk about is you have a full bag of Callaway clubs now. Do you have one or two that really have stood out for you this year in your play?
So last year leading up to the Granddaddy, my driver, I lost it. Like I was a 4 handicap. I got up to a 6 point something before the event. And then even this year, I was up to an 8.2. So I was soft capped like you were.
Whoa, you don't have to bring that up, man. That's the thing of the past. That's gone. That's gone.
Mine's gone too. but the driver, the LS has just completely transformed my game, because that's what Garrett fit me into while I was there. And because of some stock issues, I wasn't able to come home with that club. But with the 50% trade in, I went and got that head, and it has been just a revelation to my golf game.
Really?
Yeah. And then the Chicago putter, the 22, the 2020 Chicago was the best putter I've ever had, and was actually one of the reasons I switched to right-handed in the first place, because I wanted to play with that putter so bad. And then they improved on it in every way in the 2022. And that putter has just changed my putting game too.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been desperately wanting to move into the new two lungs. I haven't done it yet. Sad.
Yeah, because you're waiting for a long neck that isn't happening.
Yeah. That's it, right? I need to either buy a 22 and savagely chop the head off or the neck off and extend it.
Yeah, you need to garage in Austin and and change it to a long neck, and you'll never have another putter again.
They don't have the long neck in the garage, man. I'd already have done that.
No, that's what I'm saying. You said you're going to cut it up anyway, so just get like Austin actually head.
Go into my garage.
Yeah.
And yeah. I would never, ever do that to one of Sean's creations. That's just not polite, man. I could never dream of doing that.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, I probably could. Actually, I think I threatened Luke that I would do that. So he if I had said it was a mallet, he'd be upset at me, but it's just a blade, so it's probably fine.
Yeah, he'll be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I really wanted to talk, and it's part of your background, and we're still very much audio on off course. Hopefully that's going to change in the near future. But in the background, I see a couple things that fascinate me. Number one is golf balls. You have a few lined up there.
Yeah.
And number two is putter head covers, it looks like.
Yeah, you know that's what that is.
Yeah. So you look like a bit of a collector. Tell me the collecting story of Chris Much.
So I collected stuff as a kid. Obviously, everybody did. But the first thing I ever collected as like an adult are bobbleheads for my favorite hockey team, the Anaheim Ducks. And I collected all of them. I got all the ones they currently had made, and I'm like, I need to collect something. I just need to. I don't know why. It's just in me to collect something at some point. And I'm like, why don't I collect head covers? I love golf so darn much. Yeah, it was just a natural evolution to what you see behind me.
Yeah. So we've got some pretty sick shafts on the wall. That looks cool.
I have a lot. Six different shafts.
Yeah. And then, so what are the balls? Are they Truvis or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Balls are all Truvis or my best round balls.
Oh, yeah?
So yeah.
You need like a rack then, man.
I need to get one.
Collection.
Yeah, I need to get one.
So what? When you say best round balls, is it like each one gets better, you get rid of another one, or is it like each one just stays?
Each one stays.
Okay.
Each time I have a personal best, if I didn't lose a ball like in that 18, I keep that ball and retire it.
Okay. What's the low for you?
Lowest I've ever shot is a 71.
What a stud. Par 72, I would assume.
Par 72. And you want to know what? I did that with losing a ball.
Oh.
So I don't even have my 71 ball back there.
You have like, wait, so you lost it at some point during the round?
I was -3 going into hole 16 and I put one in the water.
No.
Yeah. So I went double there and then I bogeyed I bogeyed 17 because I was in my own head. And then I birdied 18 to shoot 71.
And you didn't keep the ball?
I mean, I have that ball, but it doesn't really mean much.
I think it does.
I lost my good ball on 16.
I think it still matters because that was the ball that decided your low round because you were back to even.
I was back to even, yeah.
So you needed that ball to get to the number. I still think
and it's back there.
You should feel good about it.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, so is that... we are, what do you call, hunter gatherers? So obviously you're enjoying the gathering part of the whole thing, but I'm with you, man. I mean, I've got my each one of my little shadow boxes has the putter head cover of the year, my low round for that year, and then as you can see, I'm growing a little bit quickly above it, or just being lazy depending on how you look at it. But we also got a little granddaddy love over there, so
yeah, you do.
I'm with you, man. I dude, there's something about the trinket and cover and just general, I don't want to call it swag because that isolates to a company, but just like the flair you can add to your golf bag or even yourself on the golf course. I love that aspect of it. I hope we see more and more of that. Cause I'm not one of those guys like, yeah, that's pretty good. I'll put it in the bag. I want it to like speak to me. Like when I see something that says, this needs to be in your golf bag, that's when I get super excited. Is that Is that what you're chasing as well? Or do you just see something you like? You're like, yeah, I want that. I need that.
So it's a little bit of both. Like the swag head covers I have in the background, like started as, oh, I'm just going to get any ones that look cool to me. But now I've switched it to, like you just said, if I feel like I need it in the bag, I go get it. And that's what I'm currently collecting at this point.
Yeah. It freaked me out today when, all the British Open bags show up on Twitter, which inevitably shows up on THP. And I get an email from Srix on Golf that, showcases their brand new staff stand bag. And I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, that has freaking tartan on it. <It's> just, did you see it? I posted on the forum.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. I saw
it. My God. I'm pretty sure. I think I said like frick nuts or something like this. I was so excited. It's going to be really challenging not to acquire that bag. Let's just say that.
I mean, you've been saying you're going to get a staff bag for so long.
Oh, it's not a
stand bag.
Yeah, it's not like that. I don't know why I said that. I think it says staff stand bag, but really it's just their typical like 5-pound stand bag.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's nothing crazy. It's not like some of those ridiculous vessel concepts that are out there.
Yeah.
But like their execution on it is so good, and full credit to Srixon this year, who have done an awesome job on their bags. And now they have hats with a tartan underneath, like under the bill. Oh, those are insane, man. Yeah. I mean, the more I talk about it, I'm just going to go spend money. I'm so glad we recorded this episode tonight. I need like another rum, and it's just pure money spending. So,
I mean, it's about that time to spend money too for you.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. But what is that pretty much your focus right now is head covers and that's about it? Or do you have anything else in golf that you are a sucker for?
It's mostly just head covers. I mean, and anytime Truvis comes out with a new ball, I try to pick one of those up, or I guess Callaway Truvis balls. But I mean, I have shafts behind me, but that's more for like play. I'm not really collecting to collect those. It's mostly contained so far to head covers.
Yeah. Until you see the new Hazardous they just brought out.
I saw it. It looks
so good.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the Open, man. Everything looks so good. Oh yeah, that's not healthy. are you going to get a chance to watch this week?
So the Open's the hardest one for me because obviously the whole time difference over there. I pay attention, but it's probably the one I watch the least, and I don't like that it is, but that's just the way it ends up being because it's really hard for me to watch golf at work as it is.
And then you have the weekend where you have to choose to wake up at what, 5 a.m. to catch anything.
Yeah. And then don't get to play golf at the prime times yourself.
Right. So. Well, I'm waking up. We're recording this on Wednesday. I'm waking up tomorrow morning to go play with our buddy K Mensch from the forum at 7:30 tomorrow. So I'm going to miss most of round one. I have no regrets for the record, but who do you like for the win?
I mean, I'd love to see Rory win it. He's been playing well recently. Xander has 2 wins in a row. Xander would be a cool win. And I mean, it would be ridiculous if I didn't say Tiger. I don't care who hates him. I don't care if people don't like the coverage. I grew up watching Tiger, so he moves the needle for me more than anybody else does.
Did you hear they asked him about St. Andrews being one of his favorite golf courses on the planet? And he stopped the guy mid question and said, "It is my favorite."
Yeah.
That's oh,
he also said that he said this Open is probably the most, I can't remember the words he said, but he said like the most excited he's been for an Open ever.
Oh, it's so cool. I saw a video of our boy John Daly walking over to him today and giving him a bit of a hug, a little bit of a back tap. All the feels, man. For as much as there is to say about Tiger and things that have occurred off the course, seeing him on there, seeing him around one of the historical greats and St. Andrews, it just puts a smile on your face, man. Like, it's just, I feel like it's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, though, doesn't it take a little bit away when you see a Hooters bag right behind him?
Not at all. Surprisingly, I would absolutely chew on some chicken wings and watch that show. Well, I'm hoping Tiger at least puts up a number. I know that would mean a lot to him. And frankly, anyone who has watched golf over the last two decades probably secretly wants the big cat to do something fun this weekend. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm rooting for JT. I can't help myself.
I mean, that's a good one too.
Yeah. It's just, I would be thrilled to see Rory win. Rory and JT are two of my favorites. So, either one of those, I'm good with it, or Tiger just shocks the world. That's fine.
I think that would be Cinderella story, but I mean,
what about Fitzpatrick going back to back?
That'd be nuts, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I was just thinking about that. That would be a big story. He does it on both sides of the pond.
Yeah. In 1 year, that'd be pretty nuts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had an awfully good chat today, Mr. Montana. It's been super fun. You know how the show goes. I open it up at the end, and I feel like this is preloaded. So do you have any questions for me today?
I do have three. I have one like serious one. Okay. I have one semi-snarky one, and then I have one that's just taking a dig at you.
All right. I'll listen to one of them.
Just one?
No, I want all three. Let's go.
Okay. First one is, I've been seeing a whole lot of new members on the forum recently. So I just wanted to know how you got your start on THP, and I want them to hear it too if they listen.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's cool. It was like 2010, I think. And the reason why I stayed was actually terrible. Absolutely terrible. So I was looking around at golf forums. I was a big part of hockey forums back in the day. Anyone who would listen to me talk about hockey would be a person I would willingly argue with. So I decided to extend it into golf and went on probably the five most obvious choices back then. One of them happened to be THP. And I stuck around because I love vBulletin. It's was my favorite forum software until we got on our new one. And that was it. I locked in, and then it was a couple months later, as I started getting like really into it, I realized there's something different about this place, something special. So I stuck around. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, don't want to bring up how staffing happened, or are you just going to start?
Oh, we can. That took a long time. Actually, that was not, that took quite a long time. Just being involved in a lot of different events, some Morgan Cup. And you know, it's always funny that the year that I got on staff was a year that the Morgan Cup had a team THP. So I was actually a captain of a team while my fellow staff members were against me, which is a very weird, but fun, interesting component to it. But the way I got on staff was they actually did, open writing opportunities where we had to write a review about something. And I think there was like three or four different waves before they finally selected me. And I guess I did well enough to impress. And here we are, I don't know how many years later, 6, 7, 8, it's been a while. So,
well, I'm glad you're here, Dan.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little different now doing the more content creating based role, but I'll leave it to Dean and James to dominate the written word and let me be the voice of unreason.
It's working is all I can say.
Oh, thanks, brother. Give me number two.
Number two. So I know you're part of the Goat Cup now.
Yeah.
And that's you, with,
Jason Finley is my opposition with JB and my boy, Austin Tudor, Tudor. We're going to Ballyhack. Yeah.
So you are the only captain to win the Granddaddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can say that again if you'd like.
You're the only captain to win the Granddaddy
so far. Yeah.
This year's going to change. So of these three, what are you most excited for? Getting another shot at Finley, taking Finley down again, or winning the Goat Cup against Finley?
I mean, that kind of puts Finley on a pedestal, and I don't think he belongs there.
Oh,
so, I mean, I would say option four is to rekindle the broship I have with my boy Austin Tudor.
Austin, I like
Mr.
that.
Mr. They don't call him soft goods anymore. They call him like
performance goods.
Goods.
Yeah, performance.
So redefining the performance goods, and we are going to have an absolute blast taking it to our opposition.
That's, yeah, I can't wait to follow that one, man.
So that's my answer there. I'm okay. Sorry I didn't align with your pre-built. I was never good at multiple choice. So
it's okay. And then the last question is, why are you such a waffler when it comes to gear and equipment?
You know what? There is a backstory to this.
Okay.
There was a time when I would not try. I would just buy.
Been there.
Yeah. But I did that because it was exciting, man. You see something you want to be a part of and you just get it. I mean, I did that with, there was a number of big clubs, Burner 2.0 irons. I did it with, the original like 9031 Adams hybrid, that thing that looked like a pencil at the end. But then I realized it's so much more fun to drag things out and discuss them. You know, I realized, and I just bought a new car, but my favorite thing to do is buy cars, right? So the faster I do it, the less fun I get to have. Mm-hmm. That's my perspective, is this whole pondering part is like my favorite. Plus when I'm pondering something, it gets conversation going just in general, because I'm in there every day saying it. So if people want to bug me about it, that's perfect. I'll respond. So yeah, it actually, the mega waffles started probably right around that original, the original post drive. I was like, it's not going to do me any good to just ponder this today and buy it tomorrow. Let's ponder it for like a month and see what sort of activity I got. And I think, I don't remember what the club was, but I bought something like the day I said I wanted it. And I don't think I admitted it on the forum for like 2 months. Cause it's just fun, man. I just have a great time doing it. Get a little bit of hype up for these different companies who've obviously shown their commitment to THP, and you know, to have that part of it, and then to go into the actual post-purchase experience and talk and discussion, that really is one of my favorite things to do. So that, and debate terrible golf rules.
Yeah, so you do well at both of those, man.
It's very calculated most of the time. There are a couple things that are not in my control. For example, long neck Austin from Toulon. But I shall ponder that again once we're done recording. So
gotcha.
Oh, that's a good question, man. I hope I did you justice in my answers.
You did, dude. Thanks for having me on. I really, really enjoyed this.
For sure. It was super fun. It's always a thrill to get a THP member on off course, talking about golf, sharing your experiences, where you've come from. And we definitely have to do this more, because the way our community is growing, it really presents a very fair perspective on what type of golf or what type of person comes on to THP. So yeah, man. Maybe we'll do this again sometime.
If you ever want me back, you say the word and I'm in.
All right, buddy. Hey, if you're out there listening, and you're looking to be a part of a big golf community full of people who are just decent, fun, friendly human beings, check out the Hackers Paradise community forums. If you are playing golf this weekend, have an awesome time. Meet someone new. His name might be Chris if you're in Montana. Have fun, enjoy the experience, and we'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.